There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That word rest is Sabbath. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. We cease from our works and rest in the finished work of Christ. That's our hope this morning. The Lord will give us that grace to be there in our hearts. We have a very special treat today. Dan Culver, Dan and Jonna are here from Ohio. Dan is Lauren's dad, and he pastors a church in Wheelersburg, Ohio. And they're here on vacation visiting with the kids, and so we're just glad, Dan, that you're here. And after, Lauren's going to do special music, and then after she sings, Dan, you come up and share with us what the Lord's put on your heart. Appreciate this, brother, and looking forward to what the Lord has to show us through his preaching. So Tom's going to lead us in the bulletin, hymn on your back of your bulletin. Let's stand together.
Can you please turn with me to Genesis chapter 37? And we will read verses 2 through 20. And I'm so thankful that the Lord shows us Jesus Christ throughout all of the Bible, the Old Testament, you know, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. That's what he says. That the prophecies all testify of him. And I pray that he'll be pleased to reveal himself in these words right here. So starting at verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it his brethren, and they hated him the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about. and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man was found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. All right, let's pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful that you've drawn us here this morning. Pray that you would be pleased to reveal your Son, Jesus Christ. Please open our ears to hear. Please open our hearts to believe, Lord. I pray that you would increase our faith. Pray that you would cause us to look to your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray that you'd be pleased to reveal him in your word this morning. Pray that you'd be pleased to bless us with your presence. Thank you, Father, for your will. Thank you for your grace and love. We pray that you would lift your Son up here this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together once again. We'll sing hymn number 12 from your Spiral Gospel Hymns hymnbook, number 12. Upon my great and sovereign God, I cast my soul and rest. My Father's hand controls the world, and what he does is best. So be still, my heart, and doubt no more. Believe and find sweet rest. God's wisdom, love, and truth, and power combine to make thee blessed. In raging storms and fiery trials, he keeps me from all harms. He walks with me and holds me in his everlasting arms. So be still, my heart, and doubt no more. Believe and find sweet rest. God's wisdom, love, and truth, and power combine to make thee blessed. My God, with skill infallible and great designs of grace, with power and love that never fail, shall order all my ways. So be still, my heart, and doubt.
the power combine to make thee blessed. Mid life's most minute circumstance is ordered by my God, who promised that in all things he will ever do me good. So be still, my heart, and doubt no more. Believe and find sweet rest. God's wisdom, love, and truth and power combine to make thee blessed.
Please be seated. Lauren, Joanna. Jonna.
We're going to go back to Genesis. It's been 4 years since I spoke here. I mean, what's the deal? Well, if you were offended, I hope it was something I said. I will tell you that. We read a few moments ago about the history of Joseph, and I hate it when people say, well, that's an old Bible story, but there's nothing in the Bible that's a story, okay? And there in that chapter, we find a man who goes from obscurity to the right hand of the power in the world. And that man, well, he was loved of his father, greatly loved. He was a father, he's called the son of his father's old age. Now, that doesn't mean he was his youngest son. There was a younger boy. It means that he was the one that the father leaned upon. And He was given a very special garment, a coat of many colors. You know, that irked everybody. All his brethren. Matter of fact, there would not have been another coat like that in the world. And he is a picture of the one, a man from obscurity that went to the very right hand of the Father on high. And he was given a coat of many colors, different than anybody on this earth. He was given a body. It says, when he came into this world, a body thou hast prepared me. And I'm telling you, that was a glorious thing to see. Grace was poured into his lips. Never a man spake like this man. And everywhere he went, his brethren hated him. Just like Joseph's brethren did. Envied him. You think just about all the things here. The Father sent Joseph. The Father sent Jesus. Joseph said, here am I. The Lord said, here am I. Lo, I come in the volume of the book it's written in me. To do thy will. A body thou hast prepared me. All these things, see, similarities here. You can just Google this. Every preacher in the world that's ever stood in a pulpit, whether he's a real preacher or not, has spoke about Joseph and his brethren and spoke about this type and this picture. And these people, they sold him. Judah had the idea, let's sell him. Okay, what are we going to get? 20 pieces of silver. Well, over in the New Testament, we got a man named Judas, which is the exact same name, selling the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And what was the purpose? Well, his brethren they wanted him dead, but they didn't want to kill him. They didn't want to be the ones. So they sold him into the hands of the Ishmaelites, and our people, the Jews, sold our Lord into the hands of the Gentiles to do that dirty work. That's the parallel here is just amazing, and it's not anything that you couldn't see. They send him down to Potiphar's house. He keeps him there, and everything prospers. You know, everything, everywhere Joseph went, it prospered. He's a picture of the one of whom it is written, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Everywhere he went, he was faithful. You couldn't get him to tell a lie. You couldn't, I know he was a sinner, but you couldn't get him to do these things. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and our Lord was falsely accused. These things all. And you'll also, if you read the entire account, when Joseph was accused by Potiphar's wife, he made no attempt to excuse himself. He was like a lamb before his shearers was dumb. He opened not his mouth. Now, I tell you that because I want to speak to you about Joseph and his brethren. Because the fact is, it says, go check on your brethren. They're supposed to be tending the flocks. Joseph was not sent to find out what was going on in Egypt. Joseph was sent to find his brethren. That's exactly right. Now you say, well, boy, that's awful particular. I am awful particular because this book is very particular. And here finally after he's come before Pharaoh. He's taken from the prison. He's cleaned up, brand new garments. He comes in and he tells Pharaoh what his dream's been about. And Pharaoh looks at and says this. Look in chapter 41 for a second. Verse 38, Pharaoh, he turns to everybody and says, Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Well, that's a good, wow, isn't that a coincidence? And then over here, when he finally tells him his dream, Pharaoh took off his ring and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and made him to ride in the chariot next to him. Right-hand man telling everybody, bow to Joseph. You bow to Joseph. He later on tells them, when it's time to go to the storehouses, don't bother Pharaoh. You go to Joseph, he'll tell you what you should do. And you know, he had a name change when this happened. It says here in verse 45 in chapter 41, Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephnath-paneah. Boy, how'd you like to call him to lunch? That word in the original Latin is the Savior of the world. In the original, it's not translated here for us, but in some of your Bibles will just tell you here, it means the man in whom the secrets are, the revealer of secrets. This is the one we speak of when we speak of Jesus Christ our Lord in John chapter 1, verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. You and I are never going to hear from God. We're not going to see God. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That is the revealer of secrets. And I love this too. Pharaoh called his name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him a wife. He gave him a wife. My goodness. A bride. A Gentile bride. Can I get a show of hands? How many Jewish people are here today? The Lord's church has been predominantly Gentile. That's right. Abraham was a Gentile when the Lord called him. That's right. Oh, listen to me. So what happens here in the experience of the Lord's brethren? Here, that's what I want to deal with you. Chapter 42, Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, and Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one upon another? Behold, I've heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get you down hither and buy for us that from thence that we might live and not die." What are you doing, brother? This is what happens to the Lord's brethren. One day they're sitting there starving to death. That's right. Starving to death. And they're looking at each other. "Adam, you got anything to eat? You got anything? There's no sense looking one upon another. You don't have one thing that you can offer me. But there's corn in Egypt. I got to get up and get where it's at." That's right. Either I do that or I starve. Get down and go. And Joseph knew there was corn there. And when he got there, when they went down there to Joseph, now they don't know it's Joseph that they're talking to. Verse 7, Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "Well, from the land of Canaan to buy corn." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. No, they didn't know him. Listen to me. When you come to Christ, don't you ever think for a minute that it's a surprise to him. I grew up in stupid religion when every time somebody come to the front and prayed through, they'd all sing, "There's a new name written down in glory." No, there's not. He's not looking for new names. He's looking for his brethren. That's right now. Say, "Well, that sounds awful Calvinistic." I'm tired of him getting the credit. That's Calvinistic, okay? Just because somebody found a mountain range years ago doesn't mean you name it after him. It was here before the foundation of the world. It's just God's truth. It's God's people that he's looking after and going after here. Now, he knew his brethren. Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, "You're spies. You come to see our nakedness. That's where you've come." And they said, no, my Lord. "We come to buy food. Thy servants are coming. We are all one man's sons. We're true men. We're no spies. We're all one man's." What man would send all his kids down here to spy on this land, knowing that if they're caught being spies, they're all going to die? What kind of man would do that? Oh, no. We're true men. Really? Really? Well, you can run that by Joseph. You're never going to run that by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph knew better. "You guys sold me. Well," he remembered his dreams. He remembered his dreams. Remembered his dreams. What does that mean? Well, it means that in his dreams, there were 11 brethren that bowed before him. And then his father and mother would bow before him. And there's only 10 sitting there in front of him. So what does that mean? It means they're not all here. And this is all about Joseph and his brethren. Here's a scripture. Look at, turn to 2 Peter 3. This text, it aggravates a lot of people, but I love it. It says here something that is so commonly quoted in our day. The Lord's willing that, he's not willing that anyone should perish. It says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 1. No, I was right. That's what I get for trusting my notes. It says in chapter 3, verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Everybody's asking, why hasn't the Lord come? You people keep talking about the Lord coming. Well, here. "But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's longsuffering to usward." To usward. Who? Usward. not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now that us word there, people say that God's not willing that any should perish. You write it down, if God is not willing that any man should perish, he would have never made hell. But he's long-suffering to usward, his brethren, and he's not willing that any of us should perish. We're all going to be brought to repentance, every one of us. That's what this entire story here, this book's about. And we're not true men. And he says, well, you're going to have to prove this to me. Prove it to me. Back in Genesis chapter 42, I'll prove you. I'll prove you. Verse 15, hereby shall you be proved. He's going to send him. He's going to keep one of them. He's going to keep one of them and send all the rest back to bring that one boy with him. Now, why is that? As I said a moment ago, it's because all of his brethren have got to be brought to him. Every one of them. So they're troubled. They're troubled. You go get your brother. In verse 16, it tells us, you send one of you and let him fetch your brother and you shall be kept in prison, and your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or if you by the life of Pharaoh, surely you're spies. He put them all together into a ward 3 days. Now, there's something going on here. He says to them, he says down in verse 24, and as he's listening to them speak, he says, he turned himself away from them and wept and returned to them and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. He hears them speaking. He's crying. Think about that. Joseph, that brother, our long-lost brother's crying in the back room listening to us talk. And I tell you what he's crying about. It says here, he separated them. And this is something else I was telling you about what happens in the life of a child of God. He separates them. And he tells them, like in verse 18, Joseph said to them the third day, now you listen to me, you listen to me. Do as I, this do and live. I fear God. You have no reason to doubt what I'm telling you and all the plans that I've made. And he said, if you be true men, let one of you stay. And here, verse 21, this is an experience. I hope you've had this. You've been separated. You're separated. And you say, they verily said one to another, we're verily guilty concerning our brother. In that we saw the anguish of his soul. When he besought us, we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Reuben answered and said, spake I not unto thee, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. Now, I'm telling you, when God starts dealing his children, they feel their responsibility towards the death of Jesus Christ. There's a scripture in Lamentations chapter 1. I'll read it to you. Because I know that Jeremiah here is talking about the distressful situation in the city of Jerusalem after all that came upon it. But this is something that could really be said by any man who's ever seen the death of Jesus Christ in truth. He says this in Lamentations 1, verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow? Which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He's turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreaths that come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I'm not able to rise up. Is it nothing to you? Well, it don't mean a thing to an Egyptian. Yes. Yeah. See, Egyptians will never feel the guilt. And Joseph is hearing them, and he says here, listen, he's weeping there in verse 24. But verse 23, It tells us something here. They knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. He spake unto them. God always does that. I know there are people that say, well, if I'm one of God's elect, I'll be walking down the street one day and I'll go, oh, I guess I'm saved. No, sir. No, sir. Look, turn over to Romans 10, verse 13. Romans 10. While you're going there, I just want to say that when Paul wrote the church in Corinth, they were having a lot of problems arguing about who the best preacher was. And my goodness, what a stupid thing to argue about. But he said to them in 1 Corinthians 3, 5, who then is Paul? People were saying, I'm a Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. This is my favorite preacher. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord hath given to every man? When a man hears the gospel, there's always going to be a preacher involved. He may have been a message that was heard. You might have heard a message 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and you might not think, well, the preacher's got nothing to do with me. Sooner or later, that life that was put in you, that incorruptible seed, is going to show up. Sometimes it's got to break through some clods. We're a pretty cloddy bunch, aren't we? Yeah. But it says in Romans 10, it says this statement, very familiar, in verse 9 and verse 17, it says this, faith cometh by hearing. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Most people in this world think I'll believe things when I see it, but that's not the way faith comes. Faith comes right through these ears, goes right down in the heart. Faith cometh by hearing. Now I look back up at verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to call upon the name of the Lord. How then shall they call on him of whom they've not believed? You got to believe on him before you ever call on him. And how shall they believe in whom of whom they've not heard? You're going to have to hear before you believe. And how shall they hear without a preacher, an interpreter every time? And it's no big deal. Do you find the name of this interpreter here? I don't. He spoke through an interpreter. What does an interpreter do, really? If he's doing it right, he simply takes the word of Joseph and puts it into a language the people there can understand. That's right. I don't have to go to a seminary to be able to do that. To be able just simply to take the things that God has said and put it in the words. I don't want to add anything to it. I'm sure the guys that were translating for Joseph knew better than to ever do anything like that. They just simply interpreted the word. So anyway, off they go again. They're gone. Verse 27, they're taking the corn home. And when they get out there, they open their sacks over in verse 27 to give provender unto the one of the donkeys or something, and he saw the gold in the sack. And this troubled him. So they all get the gold out of the sacks, and they're looking at it. Goes, oh, we're in a world of trouble. We can't. How are we going to go back? We've got this corn. We haven't paid for it. How in the world are we going back? So they go home with that and spend so much time waiting and wasting away, trying to figure out how they're going to get back there, knowing that it appears that they're thieves. And in chapter 43, verse 11 and 12, they're hungry again. Their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take the best fruits of the land and your vessels and carry them down to the man a present, balm, little honey, spice, myrrh, nuts, almonds, and take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hands. Peradventure, it was an oversight. they go down. Verse 15, the men took the present. And they took the double money in their hand. And Benjamin, he rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the ruler of the house, bring these men home and slay and make ready for these men a great dinner for them. We're going to dine at noon. I shall come back on that. But listen to the apology in verse 20. Oh, sir. We came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack. Our money is full weight, and we brought it again in our hands. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put this money in our sacks. And he said unto you, said unto them, this is Joseph talking through an interpreter, peace be unto you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. Grace. You read this. Joseph's brethren will never pay a penny for the corn. He hath put treasure in your sacks. Wow. Yeah. Peace be to you. Well, if I'm going to have any peace at all, and not fear at all, it's going to have to be because of the grace of God who's put treasure in my sack. Now, I'm telling you, the Egyptians and everybody else in the world, they had to pay. Today, people all over this world are meeting in religious meetings like this, and everybody's trying to gather up. They're taking a collection, not to keep the lights on. They're trying to come up with some way to merit the blessings of God. That's right. Scratching. I told a tale of, not long ago, when I was a kid, used to put pennies on the railroad track and let them, mash them. And you know, back in my day, you could buy some bubble gum with that, but once you put that in, it won't turn. It's worthless currency. And our merits are worthless currency. We're never going to get anything from that. It's by grace. It's the Lord hath put treasure in our sacks. I love that. And he brought these men into Joseph's house. They brought him in, set before him, verse 33. And they sat before him, the firstborn, according to his birthright, the youngest, according to the youth, and the men marvel at one another. You imagine going to dinner and having somebody set up a table, and you don't know this man, and it turns out that he's got the oldest son over here, and that's because Joseph knows everything about all of his children. He knew you before you ever knew him. He knew the order of your birth. He knew your day of your birth. For unto us, the scripture says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. He knew it. We don't surprise him. And he sets them all down, and they're marveling at this. They're all sitting there looking at each other, and he sent messes unto them that were before him. He sent dinner out there. He sent Benjamin's mess. It was five times as much as any of the others. They drank and was merry. And isn't that amazing? Benjamin's mess. That's food. He's sending the food out to these men, and he's making sure that every one of them has something to eat. He's giving them all a blessing. And the fact is that some of them might have been mad about Benjamin having five times as much to eat. But I'm telling you, the Spirit giveth his gifts severally as he will. He does. Why? He's not only sovereign in salvation, he's sovereign in everything else. There might be a Benjamin out here today that's a man called to God to be a great preacher and have five times as many gifts as anybody else. Well, they're marveling. Look at chapter 44. This will be your reading assignment this week. And Greg will have a test next week. Chapter 44, look at verse 22. They're on again. They're all troubled. The problem is, as I said earlier, Benjamin remembered it. Joseph remembered his dreams. He's got the 11 there. Father's got to come. He's got to have that one last child. Jacob. And if he's still married, she's going to have to bow too. Many believe she had died at that point in time. But he said unto the Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if you leave his father would die. This goes on. They're concerned, verse 31. It'll come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that He will die. He was trying to get them to leave Benjamin, but that can't happen. That can't happen. They've got to come, all of them. And so this is what happens. All of this trouble, all this goings on. The fact is, all these things simply mean what we read today. All things work together for the good of them. All things working together for the good of them. So I talked to you a moment ago about how the Lord always speaks through interpreters when he's dealing with his people. But there comes a day when it goes way beyond that. That's what's talking here in chapter 45. Suddenly the interpreter's done away with. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud. The Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard this. Joseph said, I'm Joseph. Doth my father yet live? You got to get him. Doth my father yet live? And the brethren could not answer, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. Bringing it home. I am Joseph. Your guilt. Benjamin said he wouldn't. Not what Benjamin. It was the one of them that said, I told you not to do that. He was just as guilty as everybody else because he hated him. He hated his words. He hated his dreams. He hated everything that he said about him. You see, in those dreams, you see a man who was be raised up. He's on the earth. He's working in the field. He's got a sheaf. His sheaf stands up. Wow. And then these other sheaves do obeisance. It just simply means they obeyed. They bowed themselves before him. And that troubled them. In the next dream, you see this one who's, you know, he's a star in the heavens, and there are 11 stars, and they're all obeying in him. And the sun and the moon are bowing to him. You know what this is? Joseph fits this because Joseph did become a lord of people on the earth. But only Jesus Christ can fit that second description. Lord of heaven and earth. And all his brethren bow to him. They're coming. They're coming. Listen to me. Verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me. You know that. For God did send me before you to preserve life. These 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me here before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, to preserve you, to give you a remnant. Do you have that in your Bible? To give you a remnant. Joseph's brethren, the remnant. That's all he's concerned with. To preserve you a remnant, that you might be saved. Save your lives by a great deliverance. A great deliverance. So it's not you. It was God. He brought me here. He made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say to him, thus saith the Lord, saith thy son, Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry with me, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household all come to poverty. Come, come, to be delivered. Goshen is yours. I'm the Lord of all. I'll nourish you. Have you found that to be true? Oh, come. 12. Behold, your eyes see, the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it's my mouth that speaketh unto you. Go tell my father. Go tell my father. Verse 18. Take your father and your households. You go get them. Come to me. I'll give you the good land of Egypt. You shall eat the fat of the land. Your command. Your commander. Just to do exactly that. Verse 20. Also, regard not your stuff, for the good of all the lands is yours. Regard not your stuff. No need for a rummage sale. I don't even care if you got a certain fork, an old fork you like the looks of, don't bring it. Forget about Aunt Donnie's china and all the silverware. Those things are not going to be of any need to you. Everything that you need is here with me, Joseph, your brother. That's right. Regard it not. And the children of Israel did so. He did. They went. And he gave them all things to carry there. And he sent his brethren away, and they departed then. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. This is brother. Brother, this is Joseph talking to me. Joseph talking to you, Jesus. While we're here on this earth, don't fall out along the way. Love one another. Love one another. That's right. They went out of Egypt. They went out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan and unto Jacob, their father, saying, Joseph's alive. He's the governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted. He believed him not. They came there to speak to him about all the glory of Joseph. And I'm telling you, they wanted him to come. It's like when our Lord said, he said in John 17, Father, I will that those which thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That's Joseph. Behold my glory. I'll nourish you. And he says here, when he came and told Joseph this, he did not believe their words, which they said unto them. But when he saw the wagons, Joseph is sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. What kind of wagons you think those were? You think there's some old buckboards? I'm telling you, those were the best wagons out of Egypt. I know they were covered in silver and gold. And the moment he saw that, he knew the man that sent that was worthy of those things he sent. That is the one, my son. The one I thought was dead is alive. Huh? Israel said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I don't have to translate that to it. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. The son, the beloved son of the father, is yet alive. I will go see him before I die. That's a noble ambition. Matter of fact, if you're one of the Lord's elect, if you're one of his brethren, before you die, you will go see him and you will behold his glory. You will. You're going to see him here or you're not going to see him there.
Thank you, Dan. That was a blessing, wasn't it? As you were preaching, Dan, I was thinking about this article that Frank Tate wrote that's in your bulletin about the difference between a purpose and a plan. Religious folks like to talk about God having a plan, but everything our God does is on purpose. It's on purpose. And all those events that took place in the life of Joseph were for the purpose of foreshadowing the one who would come and save his people. Now, that was a great blessing. Tom, we could close with a hymn. Number 296. Let's stand together. Number 296.
Thank you.
the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.